Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. So today we want to build upon our foundation of reordering our day. And as we've gone through the entire book. So if you wanted to ever read that book, we did it here. For those who've been following along with us and looking at the night watches, the morning watches, the importance of it, the foundation of what the Lord wants to do, of how he speaks to us, to take back the night. And it really leads up to this point where we're at. And it's amazing how God is aligning this with our journey here of praying for the Office of the President as we close out on the final chapter of this book, which is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And which, I mean, it's totally just God how all that worked out in the fact that now we have the President of the United States going to Jerusalem and Israel this week, meeting with leaders in the Middle Eastern world and with Israel. And so we'll talk about that today. But we first want to start with the verse of the day, which is Psalms 122, verse 6, which says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you." And really, it's the entire chapter of Psalms 122 of how we are pressed upon the Lord to really seek out the peace of Jerusalem. And it goes on to say of in verse 7, it says, "May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good." And something that just kind of popped in my head is what's the significance and importance? You know, sometimes people always question that. And I think we may understand that, but maybe it's good for us to kind of dive into this a little bit and understand of, okay, the Lord is commanding us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And really understanding that, it understands partly God's sovereignty. You know, you have the natural arguments that say, well, there can be a two-state solution. The Palestinian people and the Israeli people can live together. Why can't they? But in reality, is they're missing one factor. They're leaving out God and the fact that there is a spiritual realm involved in any of this. And so when you have Christians who don't understand the spiritual realm and the aspect that the Holy Spirit and the spiritual realm is active today, whether they want to agree with it or not, it is now you see why there's a blindness from the church and has been for quite some time about the relationship that each nation and believers should have with its stance towards Israel. And not just the Jewish people, but more so specifically the land and the calling and the command from the Lord, as we see here. And there are other scriptural examples, and we'll get into that here this week. So stay with us here as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem while the president is in the land. And we want to, and Chuck points this out. He says, if we do not pray for his land, God's land, and people, then we will not understand God's covenant plan for our own lives. It says, we are grafted into God's covenant with Abraham. Jesus, of course, fulfilled that covenant and made a way for us to be an inheritor of God's plan of fullness. It says, closing out, it says, we are progressing toward times of fullness. This is the time when God is fulfilling his plan for the Gentiles. The restoration of the Tabernacle of David is linked with God's ultimate plan of reaching the nations of the world. The Gentiles are called to make the Jews jealous over the reality of Messiah. And I think that's a key important factor for us to remember, is as the Lord called Israel to be that light, and now he's calling the Gentiles to be that light, to make them zealous towards the things of the Lord and towards the Messiah. And so we want to remember that that's the importance of it. But then also look at is ask a few questions to ourselves, some practicals of what would our lives look like if we were to pray and stand with Israel. It's just a simple question. I think it's something to be in perspective about. Of those who bless Israel shall be blessed. Well, think of the opposite. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. What would our families look like? Would we have the disarray in this nation that we have, fathers not being fathers? Just think about this simple issue. Is if we can get an understanding the sovereignty of God and what his will is for this nation, is then, you know, our lives, our family. Then let's look at our churches after that. What would our churches look like if we were in line with what Scripture actually said? How much different would we be? Would the churches be standing against God on the issue of life and child sacrifice? And then lastly is obviously, what would our nations and our cities and our states look like if we were to be in that alignment with the Lord, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, standing for what the Lord's will is in this issue regarding the land of Israel. And then also look at what does it look like if it doesn't. And I think the reason I want to point that out is we're going to look at today what some issues that are coming up with this current administration, even some things that kind of have lingered over from the past administration and previously, about what it looks like when the nation, and we've talked about it before, when our nation stands against God's will and trying to divide the land. And so we want to be very, very cautious of that, and aware of the realities of that in today's day and age, as the idea in the natural public realm is to divide the land. That's the big, huge push now. And in reality, there's a whole dynamic behind that that we can get on. We'll talk about that this week, just to kind of refresh ourselves about this hot topic of debate. Now, first off, we want to talk about some of the things the president was saying yesterday. So he gave a big speech on the quote unquote gun, you know, praising the recent gun reform, more so red flag laws, which is very, very alarming. We've studied that. We've looked at that. But we also want to look at some comments that were made, because this is quite alarming. And the reason it's alarming is because Joe Biden's a moderate. If he's moderate and you're having a more progressive, further left wing trying to come into power within the Democratic Party, what does that mean for the future? And then you also have some Republicans going blindly behind this. So Biden talked about yesterday, and we want to point this out, because we want to be aware with what the president's saying, what this means for this nation and the security of this nation. He says, we're living in a country awash in weapons of war. What is the rationale for these weapons outside of a war zone? And he said, assault weapons need to be banned. And he talked about how they were banned, and I led the fight in 1994, and then under pressure from the NRA and the gun manufacturers and others, that ban was lifted in 2004, which if I do recall, it was just a short-term ban, and it was removed because it wasn't renewed to go back into effect. But I digress from there. And then he goes on to talk about, he says, I am determined, and this is what we want to be aware of. I am determined to ban these weapons again and high-capacity magazines. I'm not going to stop until we do. And obviously we know what happened with the recent concerns. Now, if they were to implement any ban, they would need 10 Republicans. Now, I think the recent bill that was put in play was kind of a give me from the Republicans of, hey, you can have this, but we're not going further than this. And so we just want to be aware of where our leaders are on this issue, where they stand as actions are trying to be made in the House and in the Senate. Now, today, the Biden administration is coming out and saying on another issue, on the abortion issue, is saying that trying to reinforce basic, this is basic logic, but I think this is quite alarming as to see this push being made of saying that the Biden administration is saying that because of federal law that's already out there, that if the mother's life is at risk, that doctors must perform abortions. Well, in saying that they have a right to care for the mother if her life is at risk, etc. But I would also state that something that I think is being missed here and something we want to pray for is, what about the life of the baby? If the baby's not passed, if the baby's still alive, or you just, if there's complications, there's problems, you're going to just say abort? Not let the baby live? There's a child in our church that's in the NICU right now who is thriving outside of the womb, and he was born prematurely. I know people who are of adult age, my age, who were born prematurely, and yet they still live. And you're saying, well, if there's complications, if there's problems, to just abort? That's very, very troubling to hear and see from this administration, that this must be done in this case. And it goes through and gives out the specifics of it. But it's the question of, in most of these cases, it's not considered an abortion. So we're starting to nitpick from this administration about what is and what isn't really an abortion. Because they're saying that in cases of a miscarriage and certain scenarios like that, where the baby itself is already passed and isn't viable within the womb, that then if there needs to be a medical procedure to remove the baby for the safety of the mother, that is considered abortion, and it is not. Even Planned Parenthood itself themselves said it is not. So it is quite interesting to see that. Also, they're trying to push this idea of the over the counter drugs being given without doctors being there. So we want to be aware of this situation and be aware of what this administration continues to try to do. And then also, let's be aware that this is amazing, that Alejandro Mayorkas, or no, Xavier Becerra, excuse me, wrong department, Secretary of Health and Human Services, has come out and said, come the fall and winter, most everyone who is an expert on pandemics and these viruses will tell you that there's a strong chance we will see a resurgence of the virus, whether it's the variant that we have now or the new variant. So just put that one on your radar there. Obviously, this kind of goes along with what Chris Reed – this actually goes exactly along with what Chris Reed prophesied back in the spring about how, you know, really – I think it was December, January, where in the spring we would see COVID kind of die off, but then in the fall, summer, fall, something would reemerge. So this kind of falls in line with it, and now you're hearing it being spewed from government officials. Just interesting to see. All right, before we get to Israel, today the President Biden is meeting with Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador in discussions on the U.S.-Mexico relationship. The one thing they will not discuss is securing the border. It's very interesting. The Mexican president wants to talk about inflation, about what America can do. Biden is punting at that, and as we've seen, and so we want to be aware of this and pray for this meeting today. Pray that someone would continue to speak up who's in these meetings, to not have the fear of man and to have the fear of the Lord. So as we see these stances being made by the president, to just allow copious amounts of drugs just come through the border, degrading our security at our border. We just want to pray and repent for the actions of this administration to weaken our border and our security and our national sovereignty, and intercede voice with the fear of the Lord to arise in the White House to speak up, and hoping that if not this administration, the next would be able to speak up, and hopefully the American people themselves can awaken to this, whether they're on the border or not, because those border counties along Texas, Arizona, and California that have been hard blue Democrat for generations are turning hard red because their lives are being turned upside down from what this administration is doing, because they're finally realizing, yeah, you can't have open borders. There's a problem there. And this administration is causing this, but I digress from that. Is the importance of this issue, why I wanted to bring it up, is because they're having, both presidents are having a meeting, and more so the officials. It's, you know, you'll have a glorified photo shoot with the presidents, and then it's really other officials will be sitting out talking, and administrations talking, and hopefully there can be some building of relationship there to where some actual plans can come about securing both the border, not only for the United States, but for Mexico itself, in dealing with the drug issues that are there. Okay. Now we get to the trip to the Middle East from this president. But first, before that, we want to look at what else is happening around this. So we're seeing now reports are coming out that as Biden is going soft on Iran because of who he has put in office or in those places to handle the Iran nuclear deal, that the Iranians are sending weapon-carrying drones to Russia. Where did they get these weapons? How are they able to manufacture them? Where were they able to get the money for this? Sanctions have been lifted. The proposal to get back into the Iran nuclear deal, which has allowed the economy of Iran to thrive. Their network and arms are starting to spread far and wide and helping Russia now, and selling gas and oil to China and other countries around the world via Venezuela, just indiscreetly themselves, as they've done for quite some time now. But Biden's policies and lack of a stance with Iran has led to this. Now, what we see in the days ahead is from this Biden administration as they go to the Middle East, is their hope is to increase Arab-Israeli security ties. So what he will be doing is he will be meeting with not only the current prime minister within Israel, he will also be meeting with former prime minister Benjamin Netanyahu as Israel comes towards the fifth election in 4 years. He will also, him and Jake Sullivan and other officials will be meeting with Saudi Arabian and other Arab officials, in the stated goal of trying to strengthen Arab countries who stand against Iran and really the Sunni-Shiite battle there, and making sure the nations who are trying to, along with Israel, to be strengthened, to be able to defend themselves against a powerful Iran, come together. And this is off the cup of off the back of President Biden saying he would, he referred to the Saudi prince as a pariah and criticizing members of his party for discriminately killing a Washington Post journalist in Turkey. And so there's just a whole uproar about that. So there, but they're going to be meeting there. He said, the president himself said that he won't ask Saudi Arabia directly for oil, but he has come out and said that, well, it's my job to keep our country strong and secure, and that he will ultimately ask everyone to produce more oil. Because they're the only countries in the world who can. And I'm being very facetious on that, because this is just, it's quite alarming to see that on an energy level policy. But the other news is that while he's in Israel meeting with Israeli current prime minister, former prime minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he will also come back and meet with, on Friday, Palestinian authorities in proposals and hopes of, his eyes, funding Palestinian movements, potential semi-embassy for Palestine authorities within Jerusalem. And this leads towards a divide of the land. And there will be other meetings behind closed doors. There will be tons of talks that will be going on over the next several days on these trips. And this is with these talks with these other Arab countries and the strengthening of the Abraham Accords. That is an underlying issue, is none of these countries would have agreed and signed these deals if, and because it, they didn't. What is in these the Abraham Accords is that Israel and all these other nations agree and the United States agree towards a two-state solution, which is a dividing of the land, which is what the Lord specifically says, do not do. So we want to, on this issue, on this trip, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and intercede for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and to pray that those within the administration who are on this trip, Jake Sullivan, others involved, do not push for a deal. Do not agree to a deal that divides the land. We could lay it out, and we probably should, the specific instances and natural occurrences that happen after America, with the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, of trying to divide the land to, quote, somehow come up with peace in the Middle East. You know, that was a big thing with Bush and Clinton. Unfortunately, the only way for peace in the Middle East is for a peace of Jerusalem, but that means that people understand who the King of Kings is, who the Lord of Lords is, and we have quite some ways to go there. But we want to have a hope in the future, and we want to pray for that and stand on this issue and continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And if you're reading through our daily Bible reading, you can see, even though those around you may not agree with, you know, what the Lord's plans are, the Lord can still provide a way of protection and provision for you in the midst of, even in, like in Jeremiah, the Babylonians taking over Jerusalem. And Jeremiah, yet because he was consistently obedient with what the Lord had in the midst of everything, the Lord provided a way of protection for him. Daniel, other leaders who had the fear of the Lord, David, when Saul was coming after him, it is, even though, you know, things may not look great here on the natural earth, is are we doing what the Lord has called us to do in this season, despite what natural circumstances may seem? Okay, and then last thing, we mentioned a little bit about this yesterday, about the push for increased taxes from Democrats and the roadblock of trying to overcome the reconciliation process and get around that, and Joe Manchin being a very key factor on this. He now has come out and kind of spoken down against Mitch McConnell and his stance to push forward the chip deal for manufacturers. And basically all it is just, it's writing a blank check, a $52 billion check to certain companies to say, hey, yes, bring your manufacturing process here to the United States, and we're just going to write you money. But that means not only now, $52 billion, but in the future, because then they're going to these companies are going to threaten again. Oh, well, hey, well, now that things have kind of calmed down, we're going to go back to China. We're going to go back to wherever we came from, unless you pay us. And so this is a strong arm tactic from these companies, but then also the Democrats are strong arm the Republicans into passing increased taxes, increased Medicare spending, increased government stimulus on a host of other issues. And what Mitch McConnell is saying is, like, look, if you want to negotiate these things, if you want to talk about these things, you can't try to force us to vote for increased taxes and spending in a budget while you're also trying to strong arm us over here. It's like, let's have a debate on this issue. Let's end this increased tax talk and the reconciliation process. Let's have a debate. Let's have a discussion. Let's get these things pushed forward, because the chips deal is actually a partisan issue, but McConnell and other GOP senators, Republican senators, and I think a few Democrats, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, are like, hey, We want to really look at this, and they're calling it the Build Back Better 3.0 plan as they continue to try again before midterms. So we just want to continue to pray a delay on this issue, but intercede for our leaders, both Republican and Democrat, to have the fear of the Lord when deciding what to do next, and to continue to support the original intent of this nation to stand up for freedom, whether it be gun rights, the ability of life, to stand for that. And as states start to have their primary, their midterms, we talked about it before, want to be aware of it, is Kansas is now on the forefront. So they're the ones who have early voting now that has started on the state constitutional amendment to stand for life, just like Louisiana has, which will prove to not only the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm, that Kansas stands for life, but also to any judge, jury, anybody who would try to say otherwise. And it's how Jeff Lee was able to get a judge to see that, look, you have to put a ban on these abortion clinics because this is what the state constitution says. When once Roe v. Wade was overturned, this is what the people of Louisiana said they wanted, because this is where the power lies. So we're seeing that come up in Kansas, and I know Kentucky as well has a vote coming up on that same issue. So we're going to be aware, sober, standing on the wall, praying for administration, praying for the land that we're in, and praying for the church to awaken and to arise for its time and season here on this earth of being able to spread the gospel to not only this nation, but the nations throughout the world as well. All right, blessings. I want to end on that. Don't forget, we have our noon prayer online only, and today will be a good one about the importance of family as a foundation in the days ahead. And our men's leader, Ray Sattler, really breaks down the importance of having fathers in the homes and the importance of families and dealing with where we've been as a nation and as fathers, as he himself is a father in the past, and dealing with that issue from faults in the past, repenting for it, and then walking forward in the days ahead about what we can do to pray for those young fathers, pray for future generations to understand how the Lord guides us to be able to walk out the foundations that he has laid for us in scripture in our everyday lives. So with that, I want to end and bless each and every one of you for following along. Don't forget, noon prayer online only, not at Christian Center Shreveport, as we're on our sabbatical, but we will have something online. So blessings, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.